Welcome to another episode of the West Life Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at West Life Pod and on Facebook at facebook.com/West Life Pod. Today's show is something a little bit different, so I thought I'd change the format up a little bit after a heartbreaking loss against the worst rugby league side in the world, well, in the NRL anyway, on the weekend. So I thought rather than try and analyze it all on my own, I'll get a few people on the show to talk about it and have a chat about it and see what the thoughts were around that game and Michael Maguire's big changes ahead of the Raiders game this week. So on today's show, I have a chat with Big T, who you may be familiar with on Twitter and the socials in the West Tigers circles, and Tomo, who I have a good chat with as well. So just sit back, relax, and after a stressful weekend of rugby league, and enjoy these chats. Big T, what were your thoughts of the game on the weekend?
Oh, mate. I mean, first of all, I finished it and recognized immediately it was a fantastic game. It was, if I hadn't been emotionally invested in it the entire time, I would have thoroughly enjoyed it.
They said that about the 1989 grand final as well.
Fuck, did they? Okay, well, I've never enjoyed that game. I did watch that one and hated it the whole time. But the that one, I mean, it was difficult to – I don't know, man. The first half was fine-ish, but the other problem was the Titans played really well. It was really enjoyable to watch how fast they were and how passionate they were, and they really wanted everything to work, and it did for them. Our try that you sensibly tweeted as the greatest try in 112 years of rugby league was phenomenal, and it was like that one. It reminded me of the one that Teddy and the amazing winger, Paddy Richards did, you might remember, against the Eels.
Yeah, the Easter, yeah.
Yeah, and that where Paddy's just about to go and he kicks it in, and somehow and I remember I was at that game, I'm sure you were too.
And
they're replaying that, and I just, every single thing that could have gone wrong, the video ref was watching, and it was like the crowd celebrated everything that we went past. It was like we scored another try, and it felt like that when we were watching that replay. I was like, surely someone's offside, someone's thrown it forward, someone, Knopf has gone out or whatever. And so watching that replay was, you know, the highlight possibly of the season. Even if we make the semis, it was just such a great try
it
to watch.
Sucks, but it sucks that a loss almost erases it, though.
Yeah, like you exactly watch, right.
Like I've seen it on Instagram, like pop up my feed and go, oh God, that was a good try. And then I go, oh, we fucking lost that game. That's all you can think about. It just sucks. It kind of erases. Just like you don't want to. It could have been a great try and a great win, but
well, it would have been that try would have been like the one that everyone. The narrative would have been that try is the thing that wins it for us. You know what I mean? Because then we start believing and everything goes to hand. But unfortunately, the narrative went the other way. Everything started going to their hand. Every kick they went through held up in the in goal, and it was hectic. The only thing that I wouldn't have dropped Benji for that. I'm sure we might get into the team list a bit later, but for talking about Canberra. But the I did feel like in the late half of that game management was a bit weird. I would have kicked the ball out a lot more with 10 minutes to go when we were up, but both halves elected to keep putting it up high. And I just assumed that was part of the game plan, or that was what was coming down from up top. But Madge in the presser afterwards said we went away from our game plan and blah, 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 blah. And really the only people he cut were Jennings, who I think was lucky to be there in the first place, and his hands weren't great that game. But him and Marshall. So he's pretty much said, Robert, I'm assuming it's just because of form, but it really sounds like, I'm completely making it up, but it sounds like from the press conference to this team list that he said Benji didn't stick to the game plan. Now, I don't know if that's a narrative that Madge has meant or if I'm just making stuff up, but they're the only two pieces I've put together, and that's a damning indictment on Marshall, who's the leader of the club. If that's true, what do you think about Luke Brooks? Because a lot of people on socials afterwards were really harsh on him.
Yeah, I'm a Luke Brooks apologist. I stand up for Brooksy. I think he's better than people think, and I thought his kicking game is his main thing. If he gets his kicking game right, I think he's a very
good halfback. He runs the ball well. He defends well. He does a lot of little things I think people miss, but the kicking game was just atrocious. It's just landing the ball closer to the try line and the long and then the short kicks, getting it in the in goal for restarts. Sometimes him and Benji are good. I mean, Benji seems to be a little bit better at it more often, but they're both just terrible the other night. And it's just the Titans were good at it, so that was a big difference between the two sides. But I think Brooksy can be a 7 or even a 6. I've even thought, could you push him to 6 and get more of a game controlling 7 there in the future, and kind of play him in more of a Luke Keary sort of role. But I think Brooksy's got talent. I think what hurts him is when he was coming into first grade, everyone's like, he's the next Andrew Johns, and everyone's just held on to that and won't accept that just maybe he's not the greatest halfback in league history, but he can be one that I think goes to a grand final, because if you dropped him in Flanagan, the Roosters, in his boots, He probably could go to a grand final with that team.
And agree.
Brooksy, he's not on big money, Brooksy. He's only on like half a mil or something. It's nothing ridiculous. There's like 4 or 5 other players that are getting paid more than him. So, he probably needs to be better at controlling the game. And I don't think he had a good game the other night. But he was halfback of the year 2 years ago. Like, he's not a crap halfback. I'll go into bat for Brooksy. I'm still stand on that hill.
Yeah, no, I'm with you as well, man. I think a lot of people sleep on Luke Brooks, and I also love him. And I completely agree with you. Put him in any other thing. If we had pulled off Kronk, and Kronk had been with us for 2 years, and Luke had learned a lot from him, I reckon you're right. He'd be at another level. That's maybe the one problem I've got with him, is that the poor bloke is going to end up being like Sean Johnson was for a long time in the Warriors, where a lot of people said Sean Johnson's great, he just needs a better coach or a better club. And so I'm worried that Luke's going to end up missing a lot of his potential, maybe because we as a club just can't get the best out of people at the moment. Yeah. Madge might be the next Tim Sheens that really can juice potential. And Madge, I know I want to give him a long time to see what he can do with it. And hopefully we can – it doesn't look like Luke's going anywhere. So hopefully if Madge and Luke can have another good 5 years together, then Luke will be – you know, the next kind of big halfback or old head halfback that's really doing an excellent job, like Brett Camorley kind of thing, where he plays some origin. No one, he's probably not a Hall of Famer, but he's solid and people love him, or his club people love him. What else do you think about Chris Lawrence coming into the starting side in the second
half? I'm a big Luke Garner fan, and I mean, I love Chris.
This is why you and I get on so well online, mate.
We align on a lot of things. Love Chrissy Lawrence, the person. I think he puts his heart, you can't fault his effort, but Luke Garner's body, young, bigger, stronger. I would have Luke Garner in there any day of the week over 32-year-old Chris, or nearly 32-year-old Chris Lawrence. So he's my age as well, so I relate with Chrissy. I don't want to say Chrissy's too old, because he's this exact same age as me.
Yeah.
But, I highly, highly rate Luke Garner, and seeing him dropped. It baffles me. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, he loves a hole, and he's so great off Brooks. I was really surprised to see that, especially for – I mean, Cheese – I like Cheese, and Cheese seemed to have been cut from the beginning of the season, or since we came back. So he's making his way back in, and I also rate Cheekam. But, to see it at the cost of Gardner, and also see Billy Walters dropped, all of that seemed really – like, I didn't understand that as a – I can't wait to see why – and I'm sure it all makes sense to smarter people than me, but that was I for the game plan thing. I keep thinking about just what he said in that press conference, which I know he's not basing everything off what he tells us in a press conference. But if he's worried, if he was talking about game plan and he doesn't want the ups and downs, the game plan I thought was Harry Grant for hooking 60 minutes, and then fresh, crazy Billy Walters. And I just thought Billy did that role exactly like he has for every time we've put him in. I didn't think Billy was a problem or that Billy did anything differently or he didn't play of his player's hand or anything like that. But I don't know.
I guess he's thinking Harry Grant for 80 and the bench spot can be used in some other way. Maybe
it's a big bench.
To the Raiders, they were playing against, he's fighting fire with fire, I guess. Like you got some big boys on the Raiders, and I guess guys like Musgrove and Packer, you need some
Packer.
Big buff heads playing against the big buff heads of the Raiders.
Did you ever think Russell Packer was coming back?
I thought he'd get a run eventually, because the thing is with these guys that we're trying to sell, you can't sell something if you don't show they're in working order. So,
right.
Maybe the Reynolds and the Packer thing is saying, hey, these guys aren't so bad. We'll pay half the salary if you take them or something along those lines. And it's like when you're selling a car, you just want that car to run well enough for the test drive and they'll take it home. Maybe that's Madge's theory here. I don't know. But when you're 2-2 and 16 weeks still to go in the season, it's not a time for experimenting. So I'm sure Madge has got some sort of plan that's way, way beyond what we could think of. I don't know.
But maybe you've nailed it. Maybe he thinks that the best team to sell him to is the Raiders. So he's giving him a test run against the coach you think is going to pick him up. You know, you don't want the car to run to the person before they sell the car. You know, you want it to run on the one who's going to sell the car. So
Ricky Stewart can be, have his eyes on, where he wants Packer. Is that been a thing? Packer?
No, I made it up. Or? I completely made that up. Okay. There's completely.
We'll talk it into existence.
That's right, Buzz Rothfield. It'll be a report tomorrow that it's come right from the top. No, I was just going with your analogy about driving the car. I thought that was smart, and I just kept going. Trying to make any sense.
Cars and rugby league. That's my life. Yeah. One or the other.
Yeah. Now, also, have you seen, I'm just looking at the NRL app at the moment, and I can't believe how great we look statistically. We're in 11 offloads a game.
Yeah. We just can't stop tries.
We're also on 4.3 tries a game. That's crazy. I can't believe we'd scored that many. I guess we had that really, St. George maybe is a funny outlier because we scored a bunch against them. You know what I just realized now as well? St. George has looked absolutely terrible, and we almost let them beat us. Far out.
Mm.
That could have been bad. If the Titans and Dragons had beaten us this year, this would have been a really bad year already.
I mean, it was round one, so new faces. I don't know. Yeah, you could also say that the Titans, we should have won. Like, it was a bounce of the ball.
Yeah.
The ball bounces on that kickoff any other direction.
Yeah.
We're probably not having all these conversations. We're probably 3-1 and rolling on. It's just.
And Benji's probably not dropped. He's not going to kick a game-winning field goal and then get dropped, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. When he kicked that field goal, my wife turned to me. She goes, because I was stressing the whole game. The whole game. I'm sure everyone listening to this was as well. And he kicked that field goal and she's like, oh, well, there you go. You feel better now? And I looked at him and went, what the hell did you just say? How dare you? Look at the clock. There's still 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Sure enough, seconds later, bang, they get the ball back. And I'm like, no. I could feel it. Like, could you feel it? You could feel a try coming on
as soon as they got that
ball back.
I was shocked. The only thing I was shocked about was I didn't think they'd kick a drop goal. I was thinking they're either going to score and win or not score and we win, but it won't feel like we won. It feels like they should have scored. And so when that whole play was playing out, I was almost halfway through that thought going, oh, they're probably going to score here because I don't think they'll go for a drop goal. And then by the time I'd finished that thought, I was watching him put the ball down. I was like, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Good for you. Great.
What did you think of that last try? Do you think it was luck, like an effort from our boys or a bit of both?
You know what, I think the try before that eventually was disallowed, I thought that was probably our last effort. And so that was probably why I didn't feel so shocked when they did score, because we put a huge amount of effort in to prevent that in the dying seconds. Probably not enough effort to prevent us getting them all the way down that end of the field. But once they'd kicked that ball in and it looked like it was going to go either way, and we just did enough to for whoever it was to knock it on. I think it was Don. I was like, wow, okay, great. That was probably it for us. And so when they were attacking the line again, that was probably why I was so conceited to it happening, because we just looked out on our feet. And I'm also a big Dewey fan at the moment, particularly in attack. Mm. But there's been a lot of grubbing kicks to a short side where we're relying on wingers to pick them up. And
he should be followed.
I've never been a fullback, but just watching other games of other teams, it appears that the fullback's often there to put pressure on it. So I don't know if that's Dewey out of a step out of position, or if that's part of
maybe. As well.
Yeah, it could definitely be that, or communication. He thinks, is that what you said, or dedication?
Yeah, like a lack of communication.
Communication. Yeah. No. Yep.
And new guy on the team might. Who knows? Yeah, he might. You got to communicate with your wingers. At fullback, so I'm not too sure whether that was what the go was there.
Did you finish that game though and think we need to change the squad?
I thought we needed to change our winger that's not David Nofaluma.
Yeah, okay.
But swinging the axe when you lose by one try. No, not to this extent. I thought Jennings in, maybe the bench changes around. I thought maybe Musgrove is in, but almost an NFL change for a couple. Often seem to defense sort of thing, but I know, but. It'll all be in hindsight whether it was a good or bad decision, I guess.
Yeah. The other play, thinking about that, the Jennings thing, there was one other play where we, I think Jennings took a clearing kick, and he was almost in the in goal, and he struggled, and everyone got behind him. Luciano got behind him, and everyone pushed him out, and we got to play the ball outside the in goal. It was excellent. And then Moses scooped it up and got bundles. And I was thinking, gee, that was the wrong play, and this is gassing us. That kind of – they already had a few six in a rows, and then we put in a huge effort to stay out of the end goal, and we really needed that set to get a breath back. And so when we get bundled back in to touch, they're the moments I'm thinking we'd really need to kick the ball out because we're gassed. And so maybe that's also what Madge was thinking. And then when the halves didn't do it, he wanted to get rid of one of them. I don't know. But I mean, I'd said it at the top. I really thought the Titans played really, really well.
They did. I mean, people can bag out that team. They had one for a year
and
that sort of thing. But they're still a first-grade NRL side. And it's not like we lost to the early 2000s Souths or like back in the era when the teams were – when first to last was a long gap.
Yeah.
There's a fair gap between the Titans and the Roosters. At the moment, but it's not like it used to be where it basically was like a first grade side versus a reserve grade side. The Titans do have some okay footballers in there and players that needed to come out firing, and they did. So I don't know. Just trying to talk myself off the ledge, I think. But
I think it's true. I don't think they play badly. There have been – because I think you and I have both said in the past when we've played really badly and other teams played badly. I know we've had games against the Dogs where the Dogs have played terribly and somehow they've won. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake, how did we lose a game where it was just a race to 80 minutes? Whereas that one really felt like a great game because we did play well in parts. I mean, the only reason why we're cooked is because of how well the Titans were playing and the six again rule. And so, you know, that don't make sense why you lose those games. Speaking of the Dogs, though, did you know that Matt Frawley is playing now for Canberra?
I did not.
No, neither did I. He's in 19. He's on the bench for them. Good luck to
him. Yeah, right. No, I can't say my Matt Frawley knowledge. Yeah, knowledge is that great, but
there you go.
No, I did not. So what are your predictions for this weekend?
I mean, I want to say Tigers 13 plus. I want to say Joseph and David Nofaluma tear everyone apart. Don't you just want to see like us put on 50 points on camera? Wouldn't that be intensely amazing, particularly if Leilua's doing it?
Absolutely. If Leilua does that, I'll try and get my wife to name my firstborn Joey or BJ or something. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's not too far from yours. Joey could work.
Yeah.
I like that. Even as a middle name, you know, work really hard on the first name, and when you can't get it over on the first name, you just tuck it in the middle name, like you're conceding or you're giving up, you know, you're compromising.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that could work. I mean, that would be fantastic. I don't think Bailey Simpson is one of the strongest parts of their lineup. I'm worried at Curtis Scott and Kotrick on Ambi and Tommy is going to be a problem for us. But I think on the other side, Leilua and David. I mean, just Novoluma is in insane form at the moment.
I know.
It's been so great to watch.
For so long, people have said David Novoluma, let him go. He's rubbish. Like, just David Novoluma haters for years and years. He's become such, like, he's leading the try scoring in the NRL this year. And scoring, and they're not just Hazmel Masri catch the ball and fall under the line tries. He's scored some freaking great winger tries.
Yeah.
The haters don't seem to be apologizing, maybe because we're not winning the games. But Noffa's having a great season, so that's kind of getting a bit forgotten in the
losing record. And also imagine that then when Leilua scores two or three off the back of David and him becoming the next Leipana. Nofpana. No, what are we? Leifuma.
Leifuma.
Yeah, we've got to make it
Leifaluma.
Leifaluma. There it is.
Yeah, Leifaluma.
You would get there. Yeah. Leifaluma. Now, I just want to check on the spelling because I'm going to tweet this later. Leifa, L-E-I-L-U-A.
I-L-U-A, Nofa is Nofoa. Luma,
But it's Leifaluma. Yeah, so we're putting in the Lei. And then the Faluma. Love it, love it, love it. This is gonna take off. You heard it here first, V8. Your podcast is just about to launch into the stratosphere. Yeah, hashtag Leifaluma. I think Harry Grant's gonna be great. I think George Hodgson's gonna be great. I think that's gonna be a great battle. Young people, you know, smart people. Aloye has also been fantastic this year. That's something else.
Yeah, he's been underrated too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so him against Papali is gonna be great. I don't rate Damaan Mas-Lui, so there's been huge raps. That's such a rugby league term, and I love using huge raps on Zane Musgrove. And so I'd love to see him do something. Yeah, but what have you seen him do? I mean, I haven't seen him do anything bad. I just haven't seen him do anything. When did he play?
He played well against the Dragons, I thought.
I don't remember him in the game, but okay, I'll accept it.
Yeah, I thought he was good off the bench. I thought he just adds a bit of mongrel. He's just a bit of... we've got too many nice guys. We need an arsehole out there just... maybe that's what he's thinking this week. Reynolds, Musgrove, Packer.
Yes!
It's the get in your face and, intimidate the opposition and, the arsehole crew. Get rid of the nice, pretty boys.
I like this.
And get stuck in.
Run me through who the arseholes were. Zane, I mean, the people who are going to get in your face. Zane
Grubb. His name's Grubb.
He's
got to be in that category.
On Leilua.
Yeah, BJ's a bit. I think he's a bit lazy to be an arsehole. He looks like a bit too nice. Is that when he played the Tigers? I thought he was an arsehole.
So who was the other person you had then? Was it Zane, Josh, and
Packer.
Oh, Packer, yes. Yeah. And you know what? I don't think I've ever seen Adam Dewey smile, so maybe he's in there as well. Maybe he'll follow on. When everyone else starts to fire up, I think Adam Dewey could also join in maybe a bit.
Yeah. Adam Dewey looks like a stretched-out Robbie Farah. I know that might sound racist because they're both Lebanese, but he does look like if Robbie Farah had a growth spurt a little bit leaner version. They've got a similar kind of hairline as well. I've been told, actually, my wife works... at a predominantly Lebanese school, and they've got kids of the same name, and they pronounce it Dwayhi.
Oh, shit. I think that's true.
English. That's the English version. Anyway, there's like a Lebanese. I won't try to intimidate. Imitate. Lebanese proper, but as close to speaking English as Dwayhi.
So, yeah, no, I think you're right. I think I've heard that before, and so I've got that wrong. Thanks.
So all the commentators say Dewey. And
I think to get it right.
Apparently it's the way he,
Now, just while we're on Reynolds and his bad guy thing, the did you see that ridiculous article Buzz did the other day about him?
Yeah. I was out and about and I had a friend come up and say, oh, did you hear about Josh Reynolds? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, no. Like, poor guy can't catch a break.
Yeah.
And I'm like, taking drugs? That's not like him. Because I didn't know the full story at that stage. And then, of course, not long after, Josh Reynolds came out and said, you kind of left out the detail that I was found negative.
I mean, can you find a bigger detail to miss? It's just, it was appalling. Like, it was embarrassingly, also embarrassing because he's doing it on purpose. But
yeah.
I went through the exact same thought process. I saw it in the news with a mate of mine who's not a rugby league fan. And he was like, Jesus, rugby league people's a tiger, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, the poor bloke's just been through whatever he went through on 60 Minutes the other day. I mean, that's been his whole life for a year or something of that whole drama. And now this, and I thought the exact same thing. I was like, from what I know of Josh Reynolds, he's not a drug-taking dude. Like, he's, you know, I'm sure he likes a beer, but he's not around that kind of crew. So I was really shocked as well, particularly driving. And then, I mean, I know he and Luke Brooks were once in a drug sting in a brothel, no, in a strip joint, you might remember, 2 or 3 years ago, which again was an absolute beat up where police had just done a random ID search like normal, and there was a strip joint. It's one of those normal bars that has a strip joint, normal bars, it's on Parramatta Road, but it has a normal bar at the front and it has a, you know, has the lady bit in the back. And so
that's the one at Five Dock, yeah?
I mean, you'd know it better than me, V8.
I've driven past it many times. No, it's near the safety camera. I always look at it and go, it's such an odd place for a strip club, just the middle of Parramatta Road.
It is definitely that one. Yeah. It's in Five Dock, Drummoyne kind of vibe. Yeah.
And
so they just happened to be there, but that article went crazy. So that's exactly what I thought about straight away. So I was like, first of all, this guy doesn't, from what I know about him, doesn't take drugs. And second of all, he's been stitched up like this before. And so when I saw his thing about, I was done in a drug thing and there's nothing about this. I was like, can we just leave the poor bastard alone? And this is before he'd been named in the squad. So I was like, the poor guy's on the outs with the club. He's going through so many life issues. And now we've got to throw this piece of poorly written stuff at him. It just must be so hard to be a player and deal with the media, particularly when the media person has such a big voice and is doing such a poor job of it.
I don't think anyone takes Buzz seriously. What he says, like he's a walking meme, really. Like he's just, I don't think that a lot of players came out to grab on his social media and supported him and said, "Don't believe a thing that he says." Blah blah blah. So, he's just a dinosaur in the game that kind of needs to be flushed out. He hates the Tigers too. I feel like he's got something against
Tigers.
Yeah, in my opinion. He tweeted to, it was Molly or something on the weekend. He goes, oh, see, I told you to tip the Titans, something along those lines. He's a Tigers hater, and in my opinion. Maybe I'm looking that through Tigers colored glasses, but
well, you don't have to worry about facts, V8, because he doesn't worry about facts, so you say whatever you want, buddy.
I'm gonna write an article. Rock Hill hates the West Tigers.
Yeah. And look, when we beat Raiders 13 plus, will you do something for me? You have to say yes already.
As long as it doesn't cost me money.
It won't cost you any money.
Or my firstborn child.
No. Nothing horrible. Like, it's a legit thing that I want you to do, so I'm not going to ask you to do something really crazy.
Okay.
Great. I want you to write an open letter to Buzz Rothfield on theraw.com. So we beat the Raiders 13+, and then you'll write, Dear Buzz, and then you'll write all the reasons why the Tigers were right and the Canberra was terrible and that this is why you should have tipped them and that he's horrible. Well, not that he's a horrible person, because the article shouldn't be about that, but just it can be an open letter to Buzz about how great the Tigers are.
Dear Buzz, here's 10 reasons why you should retire and just
go live that's even better. And put your thing up. Please do that. and then I'll, through all of the might of my retweet, I will retweet it. And then, you know, one other person will read it. But that would be
great. I'll get on the WordPress on Sunday. All right. Sweet.
Yes. I can't wait. Now I really want us to win. Before it was just tipping, but now I really want you to write a letter to Bud. This is going to be great. Imagine if he retires because of it. Imagine you'll be a hero.
Oh, I can see it now. I'll be the king. I'll take Gutho's self-acclaimed crown and put it on myself.
You think Gutho gave himself that nickname?
Who else gave it to him? What did he do to achieve it?
Well, I mean, my theory is, and it's very fresh, so I'm happy for it to be edited, but because he's kind of in the middle-ish and he doesn't really do much and he just kind of appeared and was there, that's like every king. Every king just is kind of all of a sudden ordained and is there. No one really knows how, and they never do anything great. So that's just kind of they're in the middle of the par or things, you know, things look like they're going to get better, but then they don't. And so I think he's actually really well nicknamed the king because he's like every other king that's never really done anything.
Yeah. Well, technically a king does nothing. He just happens to be born in the lucky family and grows up to I won't get on my Republican rant, but
well, there you go. This is how he got there. He's just born,
yeah,
and now he's there, and it always looks like the Eels are going to get better, just like England looks like it's going to get better, and then it's the same.
Yeah. So, no, what? Benji Marshall's a king, and there is only one king. All hail Benji.
Okay, so there's the real issue, because I would definitely say he's the king of Leichhardt. But then, where did you put Farah for the king, like his hierarchy of Leichhardt?
The prince, I guess.
Really? Because I definitely see Benji as a princey character, as his big smile, charming, swashbuckling. It's hard.
Yeah.
I never sat down and thought about it. Maybe this should be my Raw article if we win.
Yeah.
I got to work
out. Who's the king? Yeah. But speaking of the king of podcasting, your show this week.
Whoa, that's a terrible segue. Now I'm going to be like the Gutho King of podcasting. Where how on earth did this idiot get that nickname? Whoa. Far from the king of. I'm the floozy of podcasts. I just seem to pop up in everyone's.
You're the Prince Andrew of podcasts.
That's exactly it. Unfortunately, yes, I'm the Prince Andrew. Allegedly, views are our own, but yes, unfortunately, damn it, you've nailed it, V8. Yes, so that's what I am. I'm the Prince Andrew of podcasts.
And so I am featuring on said podcast this week, I believe.
Yeah, tomorrow your quiz goes up. We recorded it. I don't think your wife was even. I don't think you were married back when we recorded it so long ago, but no, it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe less. But yeah, it's finally going up tomorrow. I'm super excited, and that's the last quiz, so we get to find out who officially won the quiz competition, which is exciting for me. But now it was a great thing to do when there was no rugby league on, but now it kind of feels like I probably should have needed to release them all when the NRL before it started. Maybe that was a mistake.
Yeah. I don't know. I think rugby league content is good all the time. So, and when you're a Tigers fan, you kind of want to forget about the recent future, and you want to go back further to forget about last weekend. I really enjoyed it.
What about while we're talking about actual princes of podcasts or Bowman of West Tigers podcast, Dan Tyrrell is an excellent digi guy. We both love him. I may have said his last name wrong now.
Dan Talentine?
Talentine, yes. Yeah. And he says it at the beginning of every goddamn episode, and you think I know it by now. But Dan, excellent digi, great human. So glad that he's at our club and all of the stuff he does. Have you listened to his – I know you and I were both listening to it during COVID, the orange one, now Beyond the 80?
Beyond the 80, yeah.
Have you had a chance now to listen to it since the season's restarted?
A little bit. I haven't been, because I wasn't commuting. I didn't listen to the podcasting as much. I think I listened to the Brooksy and Justin one. Low-key, Justin Pascoe, funny guy.
Yeah.
Like he's dry. I have a dry sense of humor, and he does as well. So I think he's very good for a guy who's a CEO. Not that CEOs can't have sense of humor.
No, I don't know what you mean.
He's a CEO, but I like his little dry wit humor and not taking himself too seriously. I've met him a couple of times. I was on the first members board thing back a few years ago, and just really, really good guy. So and fun, it seems.
And and I've loved that seeing or hearing him more in that podcast, because you're right, he slips so well from well-spoken across everything, sounds like he knows what's happening. And then, very subtly, very dry, slips in some jokes or some, and bants. And that's been fantastic. And on Brooksy in that episode, he really nailed Brooks on that weather report thing. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But they've shifted from that, and then now they're doing just kind of like a normal podcasting where they review all the games and then preview all the games, and which I was surprised that Dan went that way, because he has such access to everyone like Brooks and things like that. So I wonder what his plan is for the future of it. I mean, it's a lot of fun talking about all the games, so I completely understand why he's doing it. But anyway, so I'm interested to see how that one goes. Hopefully you'll be on that one soon. Once your Buzz Rossfield article goes live.
Goes viral, yeah.
Yeah, and, you'll be on.
He retires. Yeah, yeah. if you're listening, Dan. Possibly. But I'll leave the analysis to the guy with the ear at Concord Oval. So do a good job. The more Tigers content out there, the better. So the challenge is getting people listening to podcasts at all. A lot of rugby league fans are kind of older and don't really know what a podcast is. But, that's all good. So look forward to my episode dropping of the Sports BFs tomorrow. How do people find your podcast, T?
It's on Apple Podcasts, it's on Spotify, and then I'm assuming it's on any other one. If you have podcasts and you can't find it on there, then you should hit me up on any of the socials, on Insta, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Reddit, LinkedIn, mate. And LinkedIn, I've got to tell you, sir, LinkedIn's one of the best places to find ex-players or current players, referees, people like that. So if you're ever interested in contacting anyone in the rugby league world, LinkedIn is it's the place to be.
I think I was Scando on my LinkedIn. But,
there you go. That's what I'm talking about. So that's how you can find me. That's how you can find the podcast.
Sweet. Well, you're Big T on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, buddy. It's a non-stop Big T shop.
Yeah, right.
The facade never ends.
Oh, well, I'll add you and give me some
reviews or whatever it is.
Reviews and, say good broadcaster. All right, sweet.
Great. also, are you going to that – are you going to try and go to this game?
Against this Canada? Weekend?
Yeah.
You say that as if I have some sort of power to become a corporate.
Well, you just got to know – your dad's a CEO of something. Can't your dad talk to someone else?
Yeah, it's not – he's CEO I'm sure people Google him anyway. Mingara, the pleasure club up on the Central Coast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nothing rugby league related. But, he's more – and he's on the board of ATC. Racing New South Wales. So, racing, horse racing, I get a few perks with him. My little brother's massive into horse racing, whereas I've been on the orange jockey. That's my theory. He's an orange jockey. There's my money, and my little brother hates it when my horse gets up, and his horse that he's been studying all week doesn't get up, and my little orange jockey gets the win. But I have going back to your original question, I have zero pull when it comes to getting corporate tickets to the footy, but if anyone's out there, there's not many things I won't do to get in my offer.
Yep, there you go. That's why the podcast is here. You just need to say it, VA, and it'll happen. So
put my body out there.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you wiping your face and getting out of a car at the car park on Channel 9 or whoever's televising it. And I hope you have a great rest of the game.
They can buy me dinner at Lee's Club afterwards. That's the deal.
Yeah, it'll be open. It's open, right?
Sure. Yeah, Lee's Club's open. Right. 50 per room they're allowed. So
that place is huge, so they'd be able to fit heaps of people in. That'd be great.
Yeah, I know my dad's venue up the coast is allowed 500, so all the big clubs are allowed a few hundred because it's every 50 per room. So
Right.
Thinking how big. They got the restaurant. Yeah, I reckon they'd be a few hundred. So, Yeah, you definitely can go to Lee's Clubs. now again, life's getting back to normal. So
yeah. I wonder if there'd be much of a crowd then at the Leagues Club just next to the game on Saturday then.
You would think so. Yeah, because there is a window that overlooks the field.
Yeah.
So get in nice and early, get that spot if you can't go to the game. But, yeah, I love West Campbelltown Leagues Club. The food's great there.
Yeah.
The function room's good after the game. So fingers crossed we get back to normal life and all those things start happening again.
Well, V8's it's happened way faster than everyone else thought, so I can't see why we can't get there soon, mate.
Yeah. Big T, thanks heaps for being on the show. And, yeah, everyone catch my trivia episode, the West representing the West Tigers. What, like, I've dreamt to do my entire life. I've done it in podcast trivia form. Catch it on the podcast and iTunes.
You're your own orange jockey running through the podcast world. Well done.
Look at that. So good segue, Big T.
Thanks, mate.
So, Tomo from Gregory Hills, what's your takes on the West Tigers capitulation on the weekend, mate?
Yeah, Titans game. You knew it was coming. We were travelling well, and well as you could be. The Cronulla Sharks had some issues, which they had to deal with, but we were playing well. And then when you get to 12-0, and you're being a Tigers fan, you know it's going to be 18-12 soon, or the other team's way. I just think they'd turn the corner and they looked hungrier. I know they've been in the media all week. They haven't won for a year, yada, yada, yada. But we should have been good enough when we got to 12-0 to put it to 18-0 would have been fine and they would have gave up, I think. That's my opinion. But the body language on some of the boys, they just thought, go through the motions. When we're not even good enough to do that, it's, you know, in any game. So,
anyone in particular you thought that was?
I'll single out Jennings. I have no idea why we even bought Jennings. It's not just Jennings' fault. He's on the wing. But some of the things, efforts he made getting to balls or something. And I seen the, I don't know, Benji just didn't look right. You saw him look angry or something. He didn't look like the normal Benji for the last couple of weeks. So yep. I don't know what was wrong with him. Brooksy couldn't get into the game. Don't know why. I'm a big fan of Brooks. I don't get why all the hate's around Brooks.
Yep, I agree.
He can have a game where he goes missing. I get it. But he's still better out there on the field than not in the team. I don't know, it's just the efforts thing for me. Like, it's easy to say behind the keyboard, but the effort wasn't there. Like, there was a try they scored and McKaylee was just standing there staring. Yeah. If he takes one more step, there's a body in the line. You know what I mean? Like, I know he just ran probably, 50 metres, but it's just these little effort things where you think they're going to do it, but you can see when they don't do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, tries off kicks seem to be a massive problem as well. Every year. It's just killing me. Yeah, every year, you're right, every year. As soon as Anthony Don was put into their side, I was like, well, he's going to carve up all night. He always seems to play well against us because tall, long wingers like him, Anthony Tupou, et cetera, carve us up. Yeah,
Cartwright had a game where you'd think he's an all right player. But against us, you know what I mean? Like, we make it. Like, didn't David Simmons score 4 tries against us one game? Like, I know these players have played first grade and they deserve to be there. But Jesus Christ, we can make some ordinary players look very good.
We absolutely do. Yeah, it's a tradition that's long been a Tigers. Over the years, you're absolutely right. Yeah, we've made some. Average players look like superstars, and the weekend was no different. What are your thoughts on the changes, the side manager's name this week?
I'm not I get dropping Benji, but I don't get it because, I said he didn't look into the game or something was wrong, so maybe he has a niggle. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he's old. Like, he is old in footy terms, but he should be fresh, so I don't know what's going on there. Tommy Talau on the wing. Like, I've heard good things. I've watched nearly some, you know, I saw some of his games when he was a youngster and stuff, but yeah. I've never really seen him on the wing. So
yeah, he played. I'm pretty sure he played on the wing in his debut against
Manly. Was that in the Manly game?
Yeah.
Was he on the wing or was he in the centre? Was he on the wing, was he?
Pretty sure he was on the wing. He might have been the centres. I'll have to look that up. But I'm pretty sure we have played him on the wing purely because we don't really have anywhere else to fit him in. But he's a good young talent. I'm keen to see him get out there. And I can't see him doing much worse than Jennings.
That's what I was going to say too. I'm not a big Souths fan, but when we signed him from Souths, and I get it, he was the leading try scorer, but some of the tries that he had to score for Souths, the work was already done. Yeah. So anyone's better than Jennings, in my opinion, but if you got no one else. But, yes, so give the young kid a go. Reynolds, to me, live wire, you know, but he needs a go, you know. It couldn't hurt. Can't hurt, but I'd rather keep Benji out there than Reynolds. So
okay. So would you put Reynolds on the bench? Or like we've obviously dropped Billy Walters as well. Yeah. It's a big changes to get your head around.
It is. From it is. It is.
It's not just one or two. It's actually a big guy.
And that's what he said. Like I thought all the talk was how settled our spine was, and then all of a sudden the biggest change is in our spines, like in the spine. So I don't know what. Grant made, how many tackles did he make against the Titans? They just kept running at him and running at him and making him take the tackles. But he was still unreal, which I hope he can stay, but I don't think he can.
Well, he can only stay if Cam Smith stays on,
Yeah, exactly, And we all love Cam Smith to stay on, don't we?
Yeah, well, now I do. Yeah, absolutely. Let's wrap him up in cotton wool and get him all the get him some of the shark stuff if you have to. Don't make him pee in a bottle the rest of the year. Just give him whatever he needs to go again.
Exactly. Exactly, mate. Exactly. But they've still got Brendan Smith there too, so I wouldn't want to be stuck behind him either. So there's the changes. I'm glad Jennings is gone. Was there any in the forward pack? I can't really.
Chrissy Lawrence has gone to the starting side.
Oh, okay.
Musgrove comes onto the bench. Michael Cheekham's come in as well.
And Packer was 15, yeah?
And Packer, yes. Packer was the other one I was trying to think of. Ollie Clark is out, yeah.
McHale's on the bench. Okay. Rusty on the bench for me. I don't know if he can keep up with the new game. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on how many minutes he plays, I guess.
Exactly. Depends how he's used. Depends what type of game they want him to play.
What were your thoughts on Zay Musgrove earlier in the
year? Yeah, I thought, finally, a big body. Finally, just go out there and try and hurt someone. Try and rest, try and put the other people off their game. Do your thing. Intimidate someone. Try and get some intimidation in the pack. I know, hey, Josh Alloy and McKaylee, they are good players, but they don't intimidate you because they don't have that hard edge. Like I've met Josh a few times out of sight of the footy, and he's the nicest guy I've ever met. So
he's a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend, exactly. So it just want the intimidation factor, which we haven't had since Ellis and all that. So.
Ellis was a perfect. He was a great guy off the field, but a menace on the field. He was the perfect.
Yeah, mate. I remember his first tackle against Canberra at Campbelltown. You actually heard the guy take a breath. When he hit him, you actually heard the guy go, "Oh." So,
speaking of Gareth Ellis, a bit of a comparison. Luke Garner.
Being dropped.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Luke Garner's.
Did I miss that?
Luke Garner's outside the 17 as well. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I don't know if it's Garner's fault or because they moved him on the edge. Like they switched the edges around. They broke up the Brooks and Garner
combo. Yeah.
Combo thing. Like I know Brooks used to love that inside ball for Lawrence, but he was just not, strong enough or fast enough. Not, Lawrence had them injuries and stuff, but Yeah. It just was, you just knew it was coming. But with Garner, he hit the line right. So, yeah, I didn't even, I just thought Garner would be a given. So that,
yeah, so yeah. I'm a huge fan of Luke Garner. I think he's a fantastic player for the future.
And, exactly. I didn't realize how big he is. He's actually a pretty solid big boy.
Yeah, he's a big boy. But I don't know what Madge is thinking. Is there? All I can think is, I don't know, maybe Madge is thinking, get fresh legs out there. And even though we're only two games in to the restarted season, I don't know. And we only lost. It's not like we got flogged. Even though the Titans are a very below average team, we only just lost on the buzzer.
I get it. Yeah,
the ball bounces the other way on that kickoff. Yeah, we're probably not having this conversation. So,
yeah, the ball didn't go 10. Some say the ball didn't go 10. Some say the ball go 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't think. Oh, geez, my mind just must have thought Garner's a given. So I read over that on the team list.
It's Chris Lawrence over him is very interesting. And as much as I love Chrissy Lawrence, I'd go Garner.
100%, mate.
Yeah,
100%.
Anytime. So, I don't know. Maybe you thought because Chrissy only played 10 minutes the other night that he's a bit fresh to go. But
No, I don't know about that. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, well, I don't know how you drop Benji. Like, you can't. I don't think it will be. I don't know if this is all smokes and mirrors. But in saying that, mate, like, of course, Canberra lost to the Knights last week and we have to come up against a hungrier Canberra side, which they will be. I hope we will be hungrier, but they're a good side. They're my my better half goes for them. And it's, I remember, you know, the last few years we used to flog them down in Canberra and then the last 2 years they've just had the wood on us. Like, but then we did beat them that year. What was that, 2 years ago? Or round 20 something?
I do know that Benji, I think Benji's 15-3 against the Raiders in his career. He won't be there. So with no Benji, we're not good. And with Benji there, we tended to beat him. So hopefully that's not.
I'm going to say Benji's going to be there. I don't know if they've, I don't know, maybe they've named Luke to, not Luke, Josh Reynolds, to give him some, you know, back confidence of what his, you know, outside life's doing. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's, I don't know if even that's any on the point. But
yeah, but that, it hurt him even more to be named and then not
play. That's true. So, that is true, mate. That is true.
I think it might just be giving Benji a week off, giving his old legs a bit of a rest, giving Josh Reynolds a bit of a run. And Reynolds plays well, maybe the Bulldogs will pay more than half his salary and bring him back. Who knows? But
that's it, mate. Sorry, mate.
That's all right. But just to finish off, give us a prediction for the Raiders game. What do you think? I know we're the hardest in the universe to predict, but go out on a limb and try and have a stab.
We'll be in the contest for 60 minutes, maybe. The big boys from Canberra, they'll just be up for it.
Yeah, Josh Papali gives you nightmares.
I watched that Knights game, and even still in that losing team, he's just football. Papali's just football, man. That's crazy. He's crazy. He's an animal. He doesn't even look fit, but he looks the fittest out there when he runs. So I don't get it.
Yeah, he's a freak.
So yeah, no, I hope we put in the effort for 80 minutes this time. That's all I'll ask for. So that's all you can ask for.
Righto, Tomo, thanks for your time, man. And
Bruce, mate.
Yeah, feel free to come on the show in the future. Fingers crossed, like you said, we play much better than last week and get the boys bounced back.
That's it. But, you know, against these teams, you feel a bit more confidence than you do when you play Doggies or Titans, which is the weirdest feeling in the world. So
yeah. We do, but not the Raiders for some whatever reason.
Yeah, that's what I said to me, mate. I said, if we're playing the Storm, I said, I feel that we can, you know, match it. But if we play the Titans, the Doggies, we try to go down to their level and then go below it. So I don't know. But, not circling them teams out because they had the wood on us. So.